The following podcast is a production of Institutional Real Estate Incorporated. Before beginning our program, we would like to invite you to sign up for a free trial subscription to one of our publications at irei.com. Whether you are interested in real estate, infrastructure, or real assets in general, IREI has a publication to suit your needs. Select Publications on the main menu to choose a publication. Interested in more than one? Sign up for them all.
I'm Mike Hansel.
And I'm Marek Hansel.
Welcome to Report from Europe. Marek, what is the big news? I understand that the Central Bank or the European Union has come up with some relief fund for the economy. What's the nature of that fund, and how are those funds going to be dispersed, the scale of it, and so on?
So this has been a sort of a long time coming, if you like, within the European Union. There have been quite a few discussions about this ever since the crisis started. So the EU Parliament's been sort of agitating the European Commission, which formulates policy in the EU, to come up with some extra funds. And they announced yesterday the President, Ursula von der Leyen, European Commission President, she announced a new recovery instrument called the Next Generation EU. So it amounts to about 750 billion euros. What's that in dollars? I don't have it off the top of my head. But it's a new fund that she's proposing. It still needs to be approved by the Parliament, probably next week, I think, in a vote, the EU Parliament. But it's a stimulus package, which together with the budget they have a budget running from 2021 to 2027, a fiscal stimulus budget of about 1.1 trillion euros. So with the 750, we're looking at 1.85 trillion euros. And then along with that, there's another safety net of about 540 billion euros in loans, which was already agreed by the EU Parliament a few weeks back, which brings the total recovery effort to about 2.4 trillion euros, around two trillion dollars, which is crazy numbers really. But they've come up with this new fund. So the way it's going to be dispersed is predominantly through through loans and also through grants to the countries. And there'll be some caveats attached to them. So they'll expect countries to follow certain fiscal rules, I believe, to qualify for some of these loans and grants. And obviously they'll be parceled out on a case-by-case basis to the countries and the sectors, the member states and the sectors in their economies that need them the most. So it's a pretty substantial package overall, no doubt about that. It's been welcome. Like I said, they'd be agitating for it. I think on the 15th of May, the EU Parliament passed a resolution asking for more money and sort of saying that they needed to come up with a larger package to save the European economy. And a couple of interesting things they said. One of them was, we can't have any financial wizardry or any misleading figures. And we want the funds to be distributed mostly through grants. So rather than having to expect to pay back all of this money, they're going to try and obviously raise the capital on the financial markets through bonds. With interest rates being as low as they are, as other governments have done in the US and the UK. So, we'll have to wait and see. We expect it to be passed probably and then to see the money start being dispersed as and when needed.
Well, it sounds like a great deal of money, but of course this is going to be spread among some very large economies. Is that sufficient, or have there been arguments that more money is needed? What has been the reaction to the size of the relief fund?
It's been positive so far. I think it's sort of big money, and they wanted to make a statement. I think when, like I was saying earlier, when you add up all the figures, it comes to, you know, over $2 trillion, €2 trillion. So it grabs the headlines, and it gives some reassurance, I think, to governments and their economies, and the financial markets. So I think that's the most important thing, isn't it? Is reassurance. Whether or not it's enough, I guess I'll have to wait and see. I think they said all the right things. The president, von der Leyen, when she announced it, she sort of said that the next generation EU, this fund, this 750 billion euro fund, needs to invest in key infrastructures. There's things like 5G, housing renovation, pushing towards a climate neutral economy. So you can see that there's a focus with it as well. They're not just going to throw the money around willy-nilly, hopefully, and try and focus it into the areas of the economy that really need it as we sort of transition into a full 21st century economy. So yeah, hopefully it's a good start, and if more is needed, then obviously they'll have to work around that. I guess the real issue is how that gets paid for further down the line. Will it mean more austerity for some countries, or will we be able to grow the European economy fast enough to meet these loans? We'll have to just wait and see, really.
So what about the Eurozone economies? We have massive unemployment here in the United States from the shutdown. Is that the case in Europe? How are things performing? Why don't you kind of segue from there also into the real estate business and how that's been going so far, Marek?
So I think, UBS came out with a report this week saying that the decline of the GDP in the Eurozone is expected to be around 5% in 2020. Here in the UK, the Chancellor has said we'll have one of the deepest recessions in living memory, certainly probably since, you know, we're talking sort of Great Depression sort of numbers. So there's a sharp downward drop in the first half of the year, and some people are expecting recovery toward the end of this year, but not sufficient to make up the losses in the first half.
What is the unemployment rate? Like Eurozone wide, is there an unemployment rate that you can cite?
Not off the top of my head. No. But the numbers, the numbers are pretty bad. Quite on the same scale as in the US. I guess one of the things that we've had here is, the government's putting in these unemployment sort of packages where they pay 80% of the wages of the workers so that they can be kept on by their companies. The problem with that is that governments are quickly realizing that these packages can't carry on indefinitely, so, and the companies may not exist when we come out of the crisis or the full lockdown. So the numbers may creep up and match the US numbers on a relative basis. But it's still bad news.
And the real estate sector is performing or not performing? I've been surprised by how well the real estate sector has actually done in the United States, with some exceptions, of course, such as retail and, of course, hospitality. But the other sectors seem to be holding their own. What's the case in the Eurozone?
So a lot of deals that were sort of in place did get completed sort of in the first quarter. However, there's according to UBS again, there was about 40 billion euros of deals that were still under contract, so not completed, which shows you that buyers have probably adopted a wait and see strategy before completing deals. And there's no doubt that things have completely slowed down. I think it's basically the problem is that the valuations pre-COVID-19 valuations are used as a basis for all their underwriting, and now they just don't know if those valuations make any sense whatsoever. I mean, they could be massively off, you know, 15, 20, 25% off. So people don't want to take that risk. So deals are stalled. There's been a bit of stuff in some areas, but mostly stalling, and people just waiting to see what's going to happen now. So having said that, there's been a flight to quality. So the average deal size has been much higher, which shows you that people are looking for sort of the big trophy assets, as they call them, the areas in core, to try and run to safety. But things have really slowed down, and we don't know when they're going to pick up. But people are talking for Q4 this year of deals maybe picking up.
Now, I'm assuming that you've got a lot of telecommuting going on in the Eurozone, just like in the United States. What's the result, or what's kind of the assessment of that in terms of preparedness? Was the Eurozone economy, in terms of people owning personal technology or companies outfitting their employees with the technology they need, was it where it needed to be? Has that gone smoothly, or do you have any sense of that at this point?
Yeah, there's been, I was talking to a guy in Germany from a company called Drooms, Alexander Grelier. He's the CEO of the company. They provide technological solutions and virtual data rooms to industries such as the real estate industry. And he was saying that the IT infrastructure has come under a lot of pressure for companies. So working from home, there's been incidences of people having their networks compromised, worries about privacy in terms of data. So there's been some issues with people working from home, telecommuting that way. Just the sensitivity of some of the material they're working in, depending on what it is in particular, it could be vulnerable to cyber attacks and what have you. So if people are going to telecommute more and work from home more, then I think a lot of organizations will have to step up their game in that sense. There's loads of stuff going on tech-wise, people talking about tech being used in all sorts of areas now, beyond just working, but within offices. So, all this talk they've got now about sort of people can't share communal tables of workspaces anymore, or they're worried about lifts and stairways. And this might be the time for prop tech to step up and come up with a few solutions to these perceived problems that we have at the moment. So things like not having to touch doors or lift buttons, using voice recognition software, using tech-enabled air filtration systems to control temperatures and provide clean air for workers. So there's a lot going on in there as well. So I think people are expecting people to come back to the workplace, maybe not full time, but certainly for a good chunk of their time, their working week, and so they'll be having to step up their game in terms of like I was talking about, not touching surfaces and cleaner air and things like that.
Then there's a whole issue of the elevators, where we're used to hitting a button, and then you're in a small confined space with your coworkers or people who also occupy the building. Is there any conversation around that? I'm not quite sure what the solution would be. It's not very efficient to say one person per elevator ride.
No. Well, people have talked about using data and some GPS tools to check out how many people are in a room or in a elevator. I suppose if the elevator is big enough, you can have two or three people who are sufficiently far apart from each other, but you're in a confined space, aren't you? So, I'm not quite sure how that's going to work. I think a lot of people are going to have to use the stairwells a lot more and get a bit fitter, maybe. I don't know. Maybe that's a good thing.
That wouldn't be a bad thing. Yes, we could certainly use a little more walking in the United States if we started using the stairwells. Depending on what floor you're on, we don't want people dropping, keeling over with heart attacks, trying to climb 20, 30 stories. But, that whole elevator issue is not one that has an easy solution at this point that I've heard of anyway. So in summary, Merrick, is there a kind of an overarching statement you'd make to kind of wrap things up, just how things are going in Europe? Obviously, there's the rescue package, the need for people telecommuting, the need for more technology integrated into the office place. And unemployment, I guess, is not as high as the United States, but you're dealing with that right now in recovery. Just in summary, what would you say is the kind of the overall economic and psychological temperature of the Eurozone?
I think it's obviously people are worried, they're concerned. Nobody knows whether it's going to be a V-shaped or an L-shaped recovery or a U-shaped recovery. But this package, this stimulus package, should help instill a certain amount of confidence once it's approved. The monetary policy in terms of very low interest rates supports the fiscal policy that's been announced by the Eurozone countries, by the Commission and by the UK. So that's a good starting point to sort of come out of the recovery. Lockdowns are being eased slowly but surely across countries at varying rates. And we haven't had a spike in cases so far in countries as a result of any easing. So that's also a good sign to date. So there's a slow feeling that we're getting back to some sort of a normal, I hate using that phrase, the new normal, but some sort of semblance of reality as we experienced it prior to the coronavirus. And hopefully long may that continue, and hopefully it'll translate into a recovery in transaction deals and the investment world getting back to doing what it does best, and buying and selling assets and making good returns for the pension funds and insurance companies and sovereign wealth funds and the rest of them.
Well, we're all holding our breath and wishing for that to happen across continents, Merrick. Investors obviously spread their money around, and there's a lot of U.S. money tied up in European assets as well. So listen, stay safe, stay virus free, and appreciate the update, and we will check in with you again next month.
You too, Mike. Yeah, stay safe, and good to speak as always.